You're listening to the Chancellor Pink Podcast on Chancellor Pink Radio.
I wanted to make a podcast about depression because one of my sons has been experiencing some of it, and I've had a lot of it in my life, and people I know have had it. And I recognize there's a difference between the chemical imbalance that some people can have in their heads that you can fix with pills, because I was in that mode once, maybe twice in my life, including 3 years ago, where I just could tell I was just constantly in a downer state that I couldn't get out of. And I took some medication for about a month, and it seemed to, I didn't like the way it made me feel, but it got me out of my funk, and I stopped taking it because it started to give me dizzy spells. And then when I stopped taking it, I went right back into a bad funk, and it stayed for about 3 months or so. But then it went away, and I really haven't been back since. I mean, I've had off and on spells of sadness throughout my life, because I think, and this is what I wanted to talk about, that there is depression, which, you know, is an obvious state of mind where you just can't see life as normal like everyone else. Like if you watch your dog or cat just going on with their lives, and you see everybody else and they're just going on with their lives, and they don't spend a lot of time worrying about the meaning of it all or what's happening or not happening. You know, depression is something that comes upon you like when someone you love dies, and you see the world moving past as if nothing happened, and here this very important person to you has passed away. And you're suffering through it, and it's, you know, sort of devastating to watch how it doesn't matter to anybody but you, apparently, and the other ones close to that person. But it's a real eye opener when you look and see how insignificant everything really is, and everybody's going on with their same TV shows and shopping, and you look at it and say, my God, you know. It's just about, you know, being alive, being with the people you care about, you know. And when you lose them, it's so naked feeling and shocking. And it just wakes you up to the temporary nature of life, of course, but also to the realization that virtually everything we do every day is superfluous to actually just enjoying one another's company. I mean, I guess things like food and movies or entertainment, the joys of life are never superfluous because, you know, even if you're sharing them alone, you're watching other people or eating or enjoying other people's presentations of things that are, you know, created. So even if you go to a restaurant and eat dinner alone, you're consuming the creations of other people in a flavorful way that you like, you know. It can be a rewarding feeling going to a movie alone. You can be really in the dark absorbing this experience of these people that put this movie together, sucked into that world with the music and the photography and the actors. And, you know, and for those 2 hours, you're really transported, even though you're alone, and then you go back to your lonely life when you walk out of the theater. But so, you know, those moments, whether we do them alone or with others, of sharing the creations of others or just experiences being with others, conversation. One of the big things my mom, I remember growing up, used to do, she would have her sister over, her friends over, and they would just sit at the kitchen table. And a couple housewives that weren't working with their husbands married back in that day. And they would get together in the morning after the kids were off to school, and or if they were younger when they were put down for their naps, or if they were busy playing and they had both had young children, and they'd get together and just sit at the table, drink tea or whatever they did, you know, and talk. And rather than spend the day alone with their children who couldn't talk to them, you know, in a way that was meaningful. And they loved sharing time with their children. And it's not that they were, you know, not respecting their duties as a parent or not being a good parent. They just were wanting to enrich their own life that day, each day, to have something in their day as a human being alive that was fulfilling. And it's funny how when you're a housewife or a mother at home with children, you understand the purpose of life more than it seems everyone else. because yes, they get blue. My mom had many blue days, she called them, but it's because she had the time to realize what life was about. And maybe more importantly, what it wasn't about. Where everyone else, like my dad and me currently, and anyone who works is off busy rushing off to a way to make money, beating our bodies up, draining our minds and souls and spirits, doing shit we don't want to even do because it's part of being a part of society. We're doing what we have to do with a gun to our heads to make our paycheck, to pay our bills, to stay above water. Well, what kind of life is that? It's no kind of life. Nobody has a child and loves them and cares for them and tells them, you know, everything's going to be okay and everyone's here for you and, you know, comes to their school plays and applauds and watches them do their other functions at school and supports them playing their sports or whatever else and buying them Christmas presents and dressing up for them on Halloween and dressing them up. Nobody does all that for a child so that one day that child can come home alone and sit alone and go to bed alone and wake up and drag their ass off to work at a job they hate only to come home alone and sleep alone and wake up and drag until they die and then go to your chemotherapy alone and then just be buried alone. Nobody raises a child to face the reality of this fucked up life. So you want to talk about depression. Yes, it can be a mental disease that we can measure in the brain waves. We can see certain spots and areas in the brain where the neurotransmitters aren't, you know, sharing enough with one another. So the brain isn't just sort of medicated enough with its own, you know, serotonin or other neurotransmitters that are numbing and pleasing and happy making and just sort of make people feel content as they go on in an existence that maybe when they stop and think about it, even in that condensed state, they would realize is shit. So there's depression, which is when your brain is sort of, for one reason or another, incapable of adjusting itself to at least sort of fool you enough. And then there's reality and the depression of reality that isn't a mental illness that you don't need pills for. The pills won't help, frankly. And that you might kill yourself over or not want to live for, even though you're not mentally ill. There's the depression of accepting the awfulness of life. Now, Woody Allen talked about it, as I said in my last podcast. It's awful, the dark reality that we're all just dying and nothing means anything and it's all being erased and all of that. What I'm talking about isn't the big picture. Because look how happy he lived his life. You know, fucking and then marrying one of his adopted daughters and so on and so forth. You know, all these guys that are so into the trauma of life and they're atheists, they certainly had a lot of money and a lot of sex and a lot of fun for being so dreary and atheistic. I mean, they sure seem to have a better life than fucking me, you know. Way better. And they're happier. They're way happier. So for all of their intellectual awareness, they're fucking full of shit. They're not depressed. I mean, I'm saying non-mental illness depression. They don't have that shit. And if they do, fuck them. With all the money and women and fun and excitement and travel and everything they have is filling up their lives and fame and notoriety. Everything they do is like, you know, praised and they never have to worry about like just creating something that nobody gives a fuck about, working their ass off for someone, something that nobody even notices. So these people are not, they don't know anything about depression. I mean, the only way they would is if they have depression, a mental illness. If they have an imbalance in their brain where they're sad no matter how much good shit you give them. And there are people like that. There are people like that. And that's how they know they actually need to take a pill. because they could have all the money and fame and everything's going fine and they're unhappy and they're sad all the time. Well, God damn it, take a fucking pill. And if you don't, I'm going to fucking drive your place in San Juan or wherever the fuck you live in California and shove it down your throat, asshole, because if you have that life and you dare be depressed or sad, take a pill or fucking put a gun in your mouth because fuck you. Because then there's the rest of us, okay? And we don't have mental illness. We're stable. We're sane. We're cool. We're fine. And you know what? All the fucking idiots out there happy all the time, they call us all kinds of names. They call us crazy. They think we're unstable because they spend every last second of their life not giving a shit about anything but themselves. And so they're never depressed because all they do is see every single bad thing that happens as a challenge to start again, working on bettering them and getting the next guy out of the picture. They don't care. It's all about them, 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 them. Depression is this, friends, the realization that people suck. Depression is knowing that you don't have to be mentally ill to realize that this is shit. You don't have to, and no pill in the world is going to make you think it's better because it isn't better. People suck. You can find a person here or there, rarely, who actually cares, and they will for a moment. But there's nothing you can do when you see the truth to stop the shit from falling on your head forever until you're buried in it and dead. Because the truth won't set you free. The truth will forever bury you in a mound of shit because no one else wants to see it. True depression, not the mental illness kind, is seeing the truth of how ugly people are. And nothing has revealed this to us better than the internet. The internet is the devil's work because the internet has made us all privy to one another's fucked up, dull, unimaginative, and nasty minds. Anything you could have imagined beautiful about your neighbor, all you need to do is log onto the internet and realize you were wrong. Any dream you had about how this person or that city or that area was beautiful in this way or that way, get on the internet, spend 10 minutes looking into that city or person or area, and you'll realize how wrong you were. That city, person, or area is awful. Once you find out the way they really live and what they really think, and here's the other thing, the ones that seem to be happy and beautiful and they're living beautiful, look closer into them too, because all they're doing is living in a phony, fake way that's not dealing with reality. Show me the people who see the truth about people, who see the darkness, who have accepted it, who live in it, who understand it, who have been depressed by it, yet who are happy. You know who those people are? The beautiful people, the rich people, the enormously successful people, the lucky people. Lucky because they were born into money, lucky because they were born beautiful, lucky because they made money doing something they liked, which most of us don't get the blessing of that at all. Lucky people. Those are the ones who can see reality, understand truth about people, and not care because they're happy because it happens to be working out for them. You know, and the rest of us are either living a bullshit life, deluding ourselves and calling that sane, literally suffering from depression, you know, and medicating ourselves and maybe feeling numb at least to survive. Or people like me, which are dealing with constant depression, constant frustration with the uselessness of life, but making it okay because we're not mentally ill. We're sane, we're normal, we're trying to live, but it's awful. And how dare Woody Allen or anyone rich and famous opine about the awfulness of it all because they don't have a clue. Maybe he did when he was 12 or whatever, But, you know, that dude made a lot of money and became very famous very quickly. So, look, the rest of us who are unknown will never tried real hard to be famous, tried to create, tried to live, tried to love, tried to get married, tried to have kids, tried to do all the shit people do and found nothing but the garbage of humanity. What about us? What about us? And the answer is there's no answer. That's the real depressing thing. If you want to be depressed, accept the reality that there is no answer for us. Nothing will work out. Nothing will make us happy. There is no solution. You know, it's not about being a Christian or being an atheist, okay? There is no magical solution in either of those answers. Atheists think they're special because they can just accept scientific reality of the all the things I'm saying here and then carry on making the best of their life in some beautiful way. Well, guess how that is? Selfishness. I mean, all that is about, you know, no, I love the people close to me. I still love people. There is no way to love people and believe in people unless you believe in the essence of a loving center of the universe and love being love mattering. If love matters, then you and I and all our suffering won't be left to rot. If we are left to rot, love doesn't matter. And if love doesn't matter, you can take your happiness and your sunshine and shove it. Because it doesn't matter. Something not mattering means it doesn't matter. Are we on the same page on that one? So at the end of the day, it doesn't matter how much you love your boyfriend or girlfriend or husband or neighbor or child or dog or cat. Because love itself doesn't matter. Do you get it? I mean, if there is no central love to the creation of this world and to all of these human lives that have suffered and died, who the fuck are you to be happy? Because if you have a nice marriage and kids and a cat, when fucking children were gassed to death in Germany because they were Jewish. Do you get it? Who the fuck are you to be happy because you just sold a new painting or your boyfriend just fucked you in a good way and you came when other people are being raped and murdered every day because they walked down the wrong fucking street? Do you get it? Your happiness is relative and it isn't real if love isn't real. If love isn't the central focus and functioning core of this entire universe, then every moment you smile and feel good, you're an asshole. Because it has nothing to do with anything that matters other than in that moment for you. In that brief, ephemeral moment, you were happy. Congratulations! Throw a party. But don't waste my time telling me about it. Now, if you think that your joy and your happiness matters because love is real and there's a central love to the universe, then live that way, but you're going to have to prove it to me. Show me where you're finding that evidence. Where is this love you're talking about that is supposedly at the core of people, let alone the fucking universe? Show me some evidence that people on this planet live according to love. Show me where love is the central meaningful force. And this idea like, well, because I say it is, it will become that. That's called fake it till you make it delusional bullshit and no thanks. When it comes to love and the meaning of life, I would rather be depressed and see life in a negative way and accept it for what it is, shit, than delude myself with happiness when there's no proof of it as being real. Now, if I get lucky and make a lot of money and get a lot of women and have a lot of joyful experiences and lucky encounters in my days, I will be happy. But I would never claim that that happiness has anything to do with God or meaning or the universe. It's just good luck. And I'm here to tell you, I haven't had much good luck lately. And by lately, I mean like years. And I don't think many people do. So when you want to talk about what is depression, it is about the accepting of the reality of the vast majority of people on this planet's existence. Depression is seeing your shit life for what it is. Shit. Day in and day out, It is shit. And it doesn't matter if you're mentally ill, depressed, and need a pill, you'll probably still see it as shit. If you're smart enough and aware enough to see life for what it is, which is a repetitive pattern that goes nowhere with no fucking point except the grave. Now, you show me some reason to live. You show me some joy. What's the promotion that paid off? You know, what's the marriage? What's the love affair? Who have you ever met? Where does it pay off? Where's the big bonus? Where's the magical solution? I'm 53. I'm telling you, there ain't one. There isn't one. If God were alive and he loved us, there'd be a lot more joy. This central focus of the universe would permeate through most of us more often. Nobody's been more aware and alert and awake for it than me. I'm telling you, there's not a human being alive who should be feeling joy more than me, because I'm open to it, aware of it, looking for it. It doesn't exist. People are shit. They live according to their selfish motives. That's what's ruling the universe, just like the universe is shit. It's a spinning glob of shit with sun burning it down, with a fucking ozone layer that's temporary that a few spray cans can fuck up and cause flooding and death and droughts. And we don't even have a solid universe, for Christ's sake. We got a fucking system that a fucking gasoline tank can fucking ruin over a few years. Oh, we're using too much gasoline. You know the reason the Republicans are just making money and doing it? Because what difference does it make? Let's go green and have, for what? For why? Why don't we just do Logan's Run or whatever we got to do to stop making babies? We'll just call it off. We'll say, like, from this date on, no one gets to make any more babies because we're going to keep living on our earth the way we have to, and it's going to kill the earth. So therefore, we're not allowed to make any more children so that they don't die on this earth, because we don't want to give birth to people that have no future. That's cruel. That's nasty. It's wrong. So what we'll do is just not make them anymore. Stop making children, because we're just going to, they're going to be ruined and they're going to hate us. We're going to make them born into a world that they're going to be, you know, living in a catastrophe, living in a, like a world, an end of times like environment. So rather than trying to contort ourselves and, you know, never use plastic bags anymore for groceries. I'm sorry, you can't carry a paper bag up the stairs. All those weirdos that bring their bags at a shopping center. I bring my bags every time. Well, they must come to the shopping center twice, three times a week. You can't bring enough of those fucking leather bags or whatever the fuck they are with those handles to a grocery store. You can't shop once a month or twice a month and get enough groceries into those fucking things. You'd have to spend like $350. It'd be like Gucci. You have to have your fucking luggage. You have to bring your fucking airport luggage to the fucking grocery store. It's retarded. Plastic bags, handles, carry them. Guy like me, I live up three flights of stairs. You gotta carry a bunch of bags at once. You wanna make me, you're gonna give me a heart attack. Because so the environment can be saved. I will make 10 flights up and down my stairs with paper bags, one in each arm. Come on, it's retarded. No, you gotta have plastic bags. And then, oh, we can't bury the plastic bags. They don't decompose and put them in the ocean and all the fish. Well, you know what? Shut down the world. We're living the way we need to live. If our shit that we're doing is killing the world, stop making babies. Shut down the world. You know, or invest in Mars or wherever the hell else and fly off this planet. But the point is this. Here's the bottom line. This happy horseshit idea of a panacea, the atheists are the environmentalists, the Christians are the ones saying, you know, there's a God, there's love, but let's poison the world. It doesn't make any sense. The Christians believe in love as the core while they poison the earth and kill us all. And the atheists are saying preserve us all as they live for a life that doesn't have any meaning. You're all crazy. You're all fucking crazy. The only people who are sane are the people with depression. The only people sane are the ones who are depressed enough to say, this is yuck. It ain't getting any better. There's no point. But I'm not going to kill myself. I'm not depressed enough to kill myself because I don't have mental illness. But I'm depressed enough to want to die because I'm sane. I don't want to live because this world sucks. I'm ready to die. Take me now. But Jesus Christ, take me fast, because I'm not going to go for chemo and treatments and drive and all the suffering. I'll think about it. Oh my God, it's so hard just to get up and drag your sore old body around anywhere that you want to go. Can you imagine dragging your body to fucking places where they pump it full of radiation and chemo? And can you imagine doing that alone or via an Uber or whatever, access? Because nobody loves you and nobody cares about you and you're trying to stay alive. You have an insurance policy because you lucked out or you're on Medicare, Medicaid, whatever the fuck it is. And so you drive over and get your chemicals pumped into your body trying to stay alive in a life that you don't even want to live anymore. And you never wanted to live it. You were just going to work, coming home, going to bed. Going to work, coming home, watching a movie, going to bed. Going out, you know, these dead-ass, useless lives we live. And then, oh, I'm sick. I got to go to the doctors, get pumped full of chemicals, come home. Go to work, go to the doctors, get pumped full of chemicals, go home, blah, blah, blah. I mean, what kind of fucking world? Think about it. This is the life we live. This is your neighbor next door, probably. You know, this is everybody you ever care about. They're coming to this end. One or the other. We're just sad and sorrowful animals, and it's a disgusting, disgusting thing. And nothing taught me this like love, and especially women. If you want to be depressed, try falling in love with women, my friend. Try being a single man and falling in love with women. I guarantee in the modern age, nothing proves the non-existence of God and the proliferation of evil in the world other than women. And I don't care that my current supervisor is a woman and that I have women here and women there. I don't give a shit. Look, women, women, women are evil. Women are the devil. Women have their, I don't know if it's their estrogen or how they're born or whatever else. I don't care anymore. You know, I don't care. I don't care. I've tried 20 motherfucking years. I don't care. I don't care. You can all believe in your bullshit fantasies. I am proud to say that I am depressed, that you all suck, and that in particular, especially, women are vile creatures. And whatever comes in my life from this point on, it's not going to be pretty. Because I've tried for 20 motherfucking years since my divorce to make a pretty life out of ugly circumstances, and I have failed, and it's not for want of trying and retrying and getting back on that horse and back on that motherfucking horse until you realize, you know what? That's not a horse I've been climbing on. It's a dildo, and every time I get on it, it sticks itself further and further up my ass and releases more prongs that are ripping my colon to shreds, my friends. And so at the end of the day, there's no horse to climb on. There's only you fucking yourself up your own ass with a spiked dildo, okay? That is life. And what you have to realize is that every time you just keep going on, it's killing you more and more and more. And at the end of the day, you're going to die for real. And there is no solution, and there is no heaven, and there is no love, and there is no joy, and there's nothing but death. And if you're lucky enough to get rich and just get the money and power to fall into your lap so that everything else falls into your lap, good for you. And that's the only way to live. And, but don't fuck over your neighbor for it. And don't be a selfish prick for it. Don't. It's just nasty. Okay. Life is awful enough without you and your neighbor and everyone else being a bunch of competitive pricks, you know? Just try to be nice and suck it up and just go back out there and die a little each day until your willpower is crushed and your spirit is crushed. And like me, you stop making music, you stop writing, you stop doing everything, and you just die. I'm gonna be dead before I'm 60, I'm pretty sure, because I just don't have any will anymore. And that's the way it happens for a lot of people. Look it up. Look it up, especially the smart people, especially the creative people. They die, you know, about by 60 or at least by 70. They're not the ones who lived in their 80s and such because, you know, there's just no point. There's no joy to vive. The only reason they would is if they have a mate or if they had a successful life. They were famous, had some money, you know. It's very, very hard to find a reason to want to go on when life just gets harder and harder and more physically painful and more challenging and never hopeful and never loving and never beautiful. So I know this was a very dark podcast, and I can't imagine anyone listening to it and feeling better, but I don't watch horror films to feel better, and I don't watch, you know, violent gangster dramas to feel better, and I don't watch, you know, a lot of dramas that make you cry. I didn't watch Manchester by the Sea to feel better. What I did is I wanted my suffering, when I watch these kind of things, I want the fear and darkness and suffering that I feel to be, I want it to be validated. I want to see that it portrayed in a way that I relate to. So that's why I'm going to post this podcast and put it online and let you all judge me and say, whoa, that was a lot. Whoa, he's crazy. He needs help. Are you okay? Is everything okay? Are you sure you're feeling right? I'm sorry. I mean, seems like you're going through a lot. So I guess you do these podcasts because they're cathartic for you. Is it cathartic? What is everything? What can I do to help you? Because clearly it's about you being fucked up. It's not about you talking about the truth. It's about you expressing things that show that clearly you need help and you're a fucking mess. So that's why I'm going to post it. Because aside from those assholes that think all that shit, I know there's going to be at least one person out there who goes, yes, thank you, finally. Somebody who says what I've been thinking. Somebody who's putting words and expression to this fucking darkness inside of me that I just wanted to scream. You know, people just, look at all the people picking up guns and just killing everybody today. It's because they have this darkness in them. And they need to be heard. Okay, and we need to not let them kill to be heard. You don't have to kill to be heard. Just make a podcast and say, life sucks, it's darkness, it's terrible, and I relate, and depression is normal. It's called being sane enough to see how it's all fucked up, and it's going nowhere. And we think life is beautiful for these little brief moments, and it's good. Find them, look for them. Keep looking. I'll try again tomorrow. I'll get up again tomorrow, and I'll try to find the beautiful moments, because that's what I do. But don't ever for a fucking second think that when you're down and you're in the dumps and you feel this way about life that you're wrong or that you're mentally ill. You might be. I mean, like I said, there are people, if you have everything going for you and everything's great and you're feeling this way, then it might be mental illness. You might need a pill. Or if you're suicidal and you're thinking of killing yourself a lot, then you should see someone and you should maybe take a pill. Because I don't think these thoughts should make you want to die. They should just make you want to die. You know what I mean? There's a difference between I'm going to kill myself versus please hurry up and kill me, life. There's a difference. There's a difference between thinking of ending your life versus not wanting to live, you know? So I'm saying if you're in the latter position and you just don't really much want to live and you see the darkness and uselessness of life, don't feel bad. Congratulate yourself. I mean it. Buy yourself a present. Reward yourself for being smart enough to catch on to the shit that most dumbass people don't catch on to. Their whole lives they live in delusion of this horseshit, or they live competitively, full of this desire to beat their neighbor, to top someone. It's all about winning, you know? So they don't have a clue about just the real, you know, just sadness, the sadness about how nasty people are. They don't feel that because they're one of the nasty people because they want to win. They want to win. So if you're one of the beautiful people that actually feels all this darkness around you, all these fuckers trying to beat you, trying to take what you have, you know, and you don't even have anything and you don't even like what you have, but they want it. They want to take it from you and they think you have more than you have and they, you know, all this crap you got to deal with. If you're one of those people that's experiencing that darkness closing in on you, you know, you don't have to be sad. Just recognize that this is life, man. Welcome to life. You're in it. And just hang in there as long as you can. And don't worry. It'll all be over soon enough. And it'll end horribly. So all the horrible things you feel about life, don't worry. They'll all come true. Because we're all going to die in some horrible, terrifying, disgusting way that's not pleasant. And that's going to happen to all of us. And even if it happens fast, believe me, it won't be pleasant. Car crash quickly. Plane crash. Might be very fast. Not pleasant. You're not going to have a good time. And heart attack that's fatal, takes you out, not going to feel good, not going to be pleasant, you know? Cancer, slow thing, certainly not pleasant. All the treatments I'm talking about, there's just no way to die that's pleasant. So look, it's going to be awful. It's going to suck. So, I mean, you're going to be right. Every bad thing you think is true, man. It's going to happen. But don't worry about it. Don't spend your life frozen in time thinking about it. Just continue on, continue living, push forward, you know, and just try again the next day. All you can do is try again. I mean, honestly, the good thing about life, and this is true, and I'll leave you with this. One little positive thought. You know, every day brings a new opportunity, and it's amazing how resilient we can be as people. As awful as people are, and they are, there's one trait that's pretty cool about us and even them, and that's the ability to bounce back and with a new sunrise, have a new perspective, and remember the way you felt when you were hopeful, and maybe even fall in love again like an idiot. Find someone that stirs up your romantic heart again. All that shit can happen again to me, to all of us. You know, I mean, God forbid it ever happened to me again. Please pity me if I ever fall in love again. But the point is, it's possible. We are that forgiving, forgetting, you know, and we just have that much resilience to us as human beings. We have an amazing ability to survive and to reinvent our own perceptions so that we survive. And so I think a lot of the fake people out there do that really well. All the phonies and fakes that live these lives that are full of happiness all the time, what they're really doing is just day after day sucking it up and reinventing and, you know, deluding themselves. And they're doing a great job of it. I'm not saying do that. I don't believe in that. But what I'm saying is live in depression, live with the reality that is truth and know it and deal with it every day. But, you know, each day, too, there will be moments where you will have hope and where you can find some joy, little pockets of a laugh here, a smile there, something, I don't know, a good-looking woman there you see. Oh, there's a good-looking, and that's it. And she walks past, and she ain't ever talking to you. But, I mean, the point is, it was a moment. It was a moment that you could at least have a thought about, hey, there's someone who's pretty, yeah, what am I thinking? And then it's over, But you saw it. Hey, you got to see it. It's worth being alive. Look, there's ice cream. Yeah, but you can't eat it. Oh, okay. But you looked at it. That was a moment. So you have these little moments. The older you get, the smaller and useless, more useless they get. None of these moments get to come to fruition. None of these moments you get to enjoy. Can't eat the good things anymore. Can't be with anybody who's good looking anymore. Can't be looked at anymore as good looking. Nothing good do you really get to be in and live. But those little flashes are still there. And hell, you could still see a movie you like, although most of those suck now too. You could still hear a song that's pretty damn good that you haven't heard before, you know? And sleep is still good. Hey, you can't take anything away from sleep. It still can feel really nice to just drift off and sleep, you know? And your cat or dog, or if you have animals, they can still be lovable. And there's a sweet moment there. And your children, if you have any, you can still have those moments where you love them and you tell them you love them. And your parents, whoever's in your life that's family or friends, you can still have those moments, you know, that are sustaining. But they're really not too special in the big picture. And at the end, the depression and the negativity rules. But I'm just saying, think about those little moments and carry on, and God bless, and I do love you. Yabba da boopa.